basically, the theft of the election was orchestrated in the Rome embassy on the second floor of Via Veneto by an employee, Stefan Serafini, foreign service officer of over 20 years. He retired the day before the election to ensure he would not lose his pension, unlike what happened to some of the FBI agents who betrayed our country in 2016 and did lose their pension just days before their retirement. So Stefan Serafini coordinated with a General Claudio Graziano. And Claudio Graziano, General Graziano, is on the board of Leonardo, the defense contractor, Leonardo SPA. Leonardo used their military satellite uplink to load the software and transfer it over to change the votes from Trump to Biden. So what everybody's been saying is that we know something happened. We know something happened. The proof that was missing, the very basic who did it, where did they do it, and how did they do it, has been missing from all of the documents sent into the courts, all of the affidavits. There was nothing that was helping us win in the courts. They thought that they were very shrewd in how they did it. They had a really brilliant plan that was orchestrated by Barack Obama with the help of Renzi, the former prime minister of Italy. The Italian intelligence service has supplied us with intercepts, photos, phone calls, and shockingly, pictures of the CIA agents who have been involved in orchestrating this. Those pictures of the CIA agents ended up on the internet, and those operatives and the folks at the government in Italy started panicking, and they started replacing all their heads of intelligence, of the cyber readiness, and within Leonardo. And Leonardo, the actual person that did the uploading, arrested for quote-unquote safekeeping and had the other one put in house arrest. The gentlemen that are in jail and in house arrest are being accused of hacking in to Leonardo to look at like airplane schematics and to get some of their other tools. They're not saying what.
Can you believe that? Barack Obama with the Prime Minister of Italy and the Italian intelligence is handing over the evidence, the proof, the affidavits, and pictures of CIA agents, just like we've suspected, just like we've been hearing for months now. And it's all starting to come out. And we have two more videos I want, or audio recordings I want you to hear. Plus, we have the talking points that were released to the senators and representatives for today's hearing. Donald Trump speaking in the beginning. This is the beginning of the end for the last 200 years of America. And how this ending plays out will determine the future for our country, for ourselves, for our children, and for the generations to come. I hope that you can say you have given your all. I hope that you've been praying, and I hope you are ready to take back our country. Welcome to the show. My name is Matt Williams. This is How to Build a Tent. We're part of the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. Over to flfnetwork.com. Put in a memo field. You'll get a mug like the one behind me. Tons of other great benefits. You'll be supporting us as we proclaim the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life. Thank you for everyone who has subscribed and is enjoying all of the great content and helping support us and build our platform. If you want to email me, you can email me, Matt, at howtobuildatent.com. Find me on all the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. And buckle up your seats because it's going to get wild. So this conference call audio leaked yesterday night. And I got my hands on it. I also got my hands on also the talking points that we'll go through in a minute. But I just want you, and if you didn't really catch it all, you really should go back and just listen to these recordings. And also listen and share them with other people as well. And I have a feeling that a lot of this is going to come out today as the events unfold. And before we get into the second and third video, I don't know what's going to happen with Georgia. The last I've seen, 40% has been reported. And every time it looks like the race is narrowing, there's a huge dump that makes it even a wider margin for the Democrats that are running. And let me just say this. This is exactly what we're going to get going forward if we do not put Trump back in office for 4 more years. This isn't about Trump anymore. This is far greater than Trump is. When this cheating became blatant, like I've said over and over again, Trump is the flag that you're trying to capture, or the presidency is like the flag you're trying to capture. The flag in and of itself isn't meaningful. It's how you determine who wins the game, which is meaningful. And putting Trump back in office for 4 more years is the evidence that we have won the game. And it comes down to this. And as we are seeing in these videos, it was a corroboration long ago between Obama, the only president to ever stay in Washington, D.C. after he has left office, the only one who has continued to collaborate and work with foreign agencies. And I bet you can tie this work with the Italian intelligence agency with the other scandal of the intelligence agencies in the United States spying on our president. This is, I don't see these things as separate things. I see them as one in the same. And with that said, just look at Georgia. That is our future. That is what we're going to get unless we win this fight that we have right now. All right, let me go to this next audio clip.
I also, on Christmas Eve, as God would have it, and through the assistance of Tiffany Trump, my husband and Marla helping me get into invite into Mar-a-Lago on Christmas Eve, Steve and I had a moment to speak with the president, and I informed him that he is getting the best Christmas present he could ever ask for, the affidavits of the people who did it and their confession and assistance.
The affidavits and confessions.
He was seated at his table. He swung his head around and he said, "Merry Christmas to me." I said, "Merry Christmas, sir. We're about to give you the best Christmas present ever. You're going to have the evidence you need from the Italian whistleblower who actually committed the crime of uploading the software." And he spun his head around and he went, "What?" Like, "What?" And the look on his face. And I said, "If you'll permit me, I have a piece of paper for you." And he said, "Please." So Steve handed me the paper and I handed it to the president, and that got the ball rolling, that I finally got past a lot of gatekeepers and was able to meet with Rudy. I had 3 subsequent meetings with Rudy at Mar-a-Lago and also saw him in the Georgia Capitol. We have prepped the team on the evidence that we have to date, and he pretty much turned to us on Thursday and pointed at us and said, "You have to go get that data." And unfortunately, we have had some very intense situations, and I'm sure it's just the beginning because things will escalate. We need security for the people involved in this. We need extensive PR, and we need to have the grassroots army up and running before. The reason, aside from the fact that we've just awakened a sleeping giant and thought that they escaped with the greatest theft in the history of the world, they actually have lost, and they don't know it yet. And it's about to all hit in Italy. We have been working with reporters throughout Europe, and those reporters are preparing the documentation now with the intercepts, the photos, and documentation on how this entire thing had occurred.
So this explains why we're starting to see all of this information come out in Europe, in Italy, and the press over there is breaking these stories. It's because this team has been the ones who are providing them this information. And when I talked with John Harris on Conversations That Matter, and also the last couple weeks, I've been mentioning roughly or loosely and also pulling a lot of information from foreign press, just because we know we can't trust our own press anymore. They're bought and paid for by China. But also, this is where the stories were coming out, and now we see the team. And as she also mentioned, we need to be praying for them and for their protection. They are starting to get death threats. They're starting to have altercations and serious attacks against them. And we know this to be true. We have the car bombing of the senator's aide, who was also dating the governor's daughter. I should say, alleged car bombing. That's what it looks like. That's what it appears like. Also, the investigator for that incident was killed as well, or died. And we have a number of other people that are strangely dying that they're blaming on COVID. I think the number is up to six. I said in a previous podcast, they were murdered. I didn't mean that. I mean, they died. I have a hunch that they have been murdered because the coincidences are just too overwhelming. It's only happening to Republicans, strange enough, that they're dying of COVID, which is really weird. But this is what we need to pay attention to. So they talked about it being on Thursday. I'm assuming it was last week because that's when Trump came back from Mar-a-Lago and was over for Christmas vacation there. So this has been developing and been shown to Donald Trump for the last 48 or 3 to 4 days, I should say. So this is going to be, I have a big hunch that this is going to be coming out more and more today. Maybe even Donald Trump is going to bring this up in the speech. One more explosive video for you to listen to. And I highly encourage you to share these. I highly encourage you to get the word out because this stuff is important. This just reveals where we really are as a country and the need to fight back. Needs to fight back. All right, one last one.
The shocking news overnight is that we have now also received detailed outlays of how the funding took place. Our research has been phenomenal. It's unequivocal. It is not debatable. It is rock solid proof, which is part of the problem the Trump family has had is, oh my gosh, you know, this is a trap. It's just like Russia collusion. And you cannot blame them because a lot of people got charged with things and were put through horrendous efforts for the past 4 years by the previous administration. What is important to understand is that Barack Obama in 2017, just as he was leaving, he took some of the money that was slated for Iran and picked up by Italy to transport to Iran through the UAE, actually took $400 million. It was 14 pallets of cash of your hard-earned money, and that money was transferred over to different accounts. And that was the plan to help unravel the funding to unravel the Trump presidency. 14 pallets of cash. So that those funds, we now know and have proof of where they went and how they got there. I can tell you the exact travel plan of the cash. We know it was Barack Obama. Barack Obama conspired with Renzi in the White House. The last state dinner that the president had was with Renzi, the prime minister of Italy, and Obama's campaign manager returned to Italy to orchestrate the effort with Renzi. The acting prime minister Conte is vehemently, I shouldn't use the word vehemently, but is very, very engaged and involved.
There you have it. A larger piece of the puzzle of the Democrat Party being traitors and committing treason. If all of these things come out and can be proven, these people need to be tried for treason and killed. They need to be put to death. And this needs to be made of an example. And if we win this battle and capture the flag and put Trump back into office, we need to push for this to happen. And we may, again, I've warned you before, it may seem easier, it may seem merciful to not hold people to justice and to standard and to God's law. But the mercy of the wicked is cruel. And there is wisdom in what God said when the Israelites went into the promised land and they were commanded to wipe out the people that were there. We must expel and get rid of all these traitors. We cannot leave them around. It will have detrimental effects for our kids. It will leave battles for our children to fight that we don't want them to fight. We want to win this war now so that our kids do not have to fight this battle in their lifetimes. And that is what is at stake. All right, we're going to take a break and then we're going to get to the document of the talking points that was released to the senators and congressmen for tomorrow. It's going to be interesting and see how much of the script that they follow and whatnot. First, we're going to talk to you about Samaritan Ministries. Are you still trying to figure out how to pay for your medical needs in 2021? Take a look at Samaritan Ministries, where there are over 280,000 Samaritan members who are ready to care for you spiritually and financially when you have a medical need, all without the use of insurance. When a medical need arises, you choose the healthcare providers and treatments that work best for you. Your medical bills are sent to Samaritan Ministries, and they notify members to pray and send money directly to you to pay your shareable bills. Let's face it, an unexpected medical emergency can happen at any time. Make sure you are prepared. Healthcare sharing at Samaritan Ministries is biblical, affordable, and since they're not bound by open enrollment, you can join today. Take a minute now to visit SamaritanMinistries.org/how-to-build-a-tent to learn more. That's SamaritanMinistries.org/how-to-build-a-tent. Go check them out and be prepared. Alrighty. I'm gonna remove, stop screen share. I'm gonna share again. It's a PDF I have. Let's see. All this stuff. Bam. All right. It's titled, for those of you listening to the podcast, Election Fraud, Foreign Interference, and Options for January 6th. And this is dated yesterday, January 5th, when the updates happened. And it's PDFs, but it looks like from the formatting that it was a PowerPoint slide. The talking points is this. The Chinese systematically gained control over our election system, constituting a national security emergency, no doubt playing into that executive order from 2018. The electronic voting machines were compromised and cannot be trusted to provide an accurate vote count. To restore confidence, the fail-safe, quote-unquote, of counting the paper ballots must be used to determine who won the election for president, senators, congressional representatives. Hand counts, we should be counting the paper ballots by hand to determine who won the election for the race of president, senators, and congressional representatives, which would be awesome because I firmly believe that we would flip the House and this runoff election in Georgia doesn't even matter. I think they won it because of Trump. So we'll see how that plays out. And if we can get the recount for all three of those, that'd be awesome. Hand counts reported by the media are not really hand counts and easily subverted. That's very true. And we talked about this before where the people that sent in absentee ballots or mail-in ballots, the scanners would scan it, they'd destroy the original, and then they would just have this virtual document, the electronic document, where the machines allow you to manipulate the votes and change what the ballots were voted for and whatnot. So it's really important to get to the physical ballots. The next page says, summary of the domestic voter fraud. Double voters, deceased voters, out-of-state and out-of-country voters, non-citizen or felon voters, fake ballots, ballot stuffing, and other illegal ballots, and in parentheticals, violation of state law. And this occurred in 8 states, they're saying, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico. It'll be interesting to listen as we listen to this and how this goes, of how many of these states they actually object to, if they do all 8 or they focus on 3. So you remember, they need 3. I believe they need Pennsylvania and 2 others, but it might be just any of the 3 because Pennsylvania, if I remember correctly, is 20 electors. So that is, I think that is the sum total, or maybe they need 4 of those 8 if they don't get Pennsylvania. I don't know. But so it'll be interesting to see if they go for all 8 or they just focus on the 3 that they need. And then they have a screenshot, and I believe this was a video, but because this was printed as a PDF, I don't believe we can play it, but it's been happening for a while. And then they have the CNN video from Kentucky. And this is from 2016, I believe it was. It was 2018. I think it was between the years. Where's Matt Bevin in Kentucky. And I remember seeing this clip where the votes switched on CNN, where it was lagging behind, where Matt Bevin lost votes. And it's good that they see this because this happened. We have video from CNN and other sources as well from this current election, November, was it 3rd or 4th? Now I'm bringing this last presidential election for Trump and Biden, where Trump was losing votes. And we saw that again also with the testimony by district in Georgia. So I'm glad that they got to see this. The next page, and I'm sorry, the formatting is a little bad for those watching on YouTube. Irregularities in 2020 election when the vote counting paused. And so right now they are showing how much Trump won in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, North Carolina, Wisconsin, and Michigan. This is where they had to stop the vote, where we were listening to the tapes of the people in Italy, in the Rome embassy, U.S. embassy, were communicating and using the satellites from Leonardo defense contractors to come in and restructure the data and format and switch votes from Trump to Biden. And their bullet points for the slide says Donald Trump was winning by a significant margin across all key states November 3rd evening. Vote counting stopped in key states where Smartmatic software in either ESNS or Dominion machines were used. And when reporting resumed, a massive spike occurred that favored Joe Biden and exceeded the counting capabilities that were on hand in many cases. Next slide. And so this is a picture of when Michigan, and I know some of you reached out to me and were asking which states that the vote dumps happened in and when did it happen? Well, here you go. They have the slides of the vote tallies and the dumps. And you can see the increased values, the tallies. The fixing is in, and then they have the Biden injection. You can see the line goes straight up, which uncharacteristically for the trend lines as a whole, you see a little straight ups on the lines, a little shot up straight up for some Biden dumps. But on all the other ones, you see a Trump shot up as well, except for this one on November 7th at 6:31 a.m. where 54,199 vote injection for Joe Biden. So it's not just that this shot up dramatically straight up for Joe Biden. It's that there wasn't a corresponding shot up for Trump, which if there's a large data dump, you would have some amount of for Trump as well. But this is indicating because there wasn't that increase for Trump that this was a straight data dump for Joe Biden, which is impossible. It's absolutely impossible. And so there's some key points that they highlighted down there. Let's keep going. Pennsylvania, it happened below. And this one was interesting because I believe this is showing, it's showing a U, or I mean, sorry, it's showing it go up and then down again. But there's definitely irregularities because I remember watching the video for this. There was times where Biden had votes, then he lost votes, but then he gained votes again. It was really strange. It's like they made a typo or something and they had to fix it going in again. But so they have the large scale big data points to this. And the summary says a spike on the morning of November 4th resulted in a net increase of 337,019 to Biden's total. So they have it in Pennsylvania. The data in Arizona, this one happened in the beginning, November 3rd, 143,100 votes in Maricopa and Pima County. And this happens because I think a lot of these were the absentee ballots and they counted them in the beginning for Arizona, which is interesting because maybe this is why Fox News decided to call it so early, is because of this astronomical data dump of fraudulent ballots that happened. Not that this means just because Biden's winning here that's fraudulent, but because of all the other things we've seen and just how the data doesn't correspond anywhere else but just in the beginning. So there's for Arizona. They have Georgia, similar thing. We don't need to go into it. They have an algorithm showing the graph that's just too complicated for us to get into, but they have the framework and the structure on how this voting tallying happened, how the process worked, and how the software interacted with each other. If you want to pause this and take a look at this, this is great if you're listening on podcast. If you want to take a look at this, go over to our YouTube, and you can check out and see the workflow and how this all worked in the adjudication process. And basically, the purpose of this slide is to talk about the adjudication process is where the fraud can happen. You can send the adjudicated ballots, the ballots that weren't read properly or had some issue, and send them to an individual, can send them across the world to Germany or Italy. You can send them to anyone who has access to the computers. And remember, we now know that they had internet access and they were being controlled through a satellite. But that's why we've seen these astronomical numbers. I think in, 94% in Georgia, the Secretary of State's office admitted on TV that it was like 94% were being adjudicated. It's because that's where anyone can go in unsupervised and modify the ballots. And remember, they're all virtual now. They're digital copies. They're not the originals. So they can mark and change them however they want. And we did see a video from Georgia of a lady showing it to people as almost a whistleblower that what she could do, she could change votes, she can delete votes, she can eliminate votes, all she wants. And you cannot tell the difference because it's all digital. So that's what this slide is showing. The issue, national security, election fraud, and foreign interference. One tactic that is part of the larger plan, a strategic plan, Other tactics include riots, threats, censorship, looting, etc. So they're tying in Black Lives Matter and Antifa into this, which is a George Soros and CCP collaboration. Thank you guys for, you know, just helping destroy our country. To you guys. And here's the key issue. China has leveraged financial, non-governmental, and foreign allies, including Venezuela, to acquire, influence, and control U.S. voting infrastructure in at least 28 states. China has leveraged financial, non-governmental, and foreign allies, including Venezuela, to acquire, influence, and control U.S. voting infrastructure in at least 28 states. And remember that executive order that we've talked about many times before from 2018. The key issue in 2020, the critical infrastructure control utilized as part of an ongoing globalist / socialist operation to subvert the will of the United States voters and install a China ally, which we all know is Joe Biden. And now here's a timeline of Smartmatic giving them an overview. I'm not going to go through that. Some of the following is abstract from the larger report Project Foot Patrol and includes relevant slides to the following. The Chinese Communist Party, financial control of Dominion, and that's been proven. CCP control of testing for Smartmatic software, operating Dominion voting machines. And there's just a whole bunch of other stuff relating. And UBS Securities LLC and UBS Securities Co. LTD is 75% owned by the Chinese government. And how, and this was a company that infused $400 million to Dominion, to Dominion's parent company, Capital. Let's see if it's on here. It's something Capital. Well, they don't have it. Like Capital Street or something. I've talked about it before on the show. And that, it's probably on this slide. So here it is. This is a great simple slide of the money trails of how this different investments go. Oh, Staple Street Capital. That's what it was called. Here it is. So the Chinese gave it to the UBS Enterprise in Sweden, which put in $400 million on October 8th. Oh, I thought it was after the election. It was before the election. Yeah, October 8th. And then there's all these different shell companies, and you can see how it is all integrated. And it talks again more about CCP and all this stuff. So here, I'm just going to zoom through the slides. So for those of you watching on YouTube, if you want to pause and look through these on YouTube, feel free to, and just you can keep this and kind of go through it as we see this thing play out in the session hearing, congressional hearing, and let's see how it goes. I can't stress to you enough how important tomorrow is. Okay, here are the options. Let's go through this real quick because this is interesting. Options for January 6th. And this all revolves VP Pence, which gives me the heebie-jeebies, guys. I don't really trust Mike Pence at all. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I can apologize to him. But from all my sources, from most of my sources, I've been told to be careful and be warned about VP Pence even before the election. So we'll see how this all plays out. But these are the three options that they have. VP Pence seats Republican electors over the objections of Democrats in states where fraud occurred, which, remember, they have the dueling electors for 7 of the states. VP Pence rejects the electors from states where fraud occurred, causing the election to be decided by remaining electoral votes, which, and we'll see about that. VP Pence delays the, I should just say, because, so if VP Pence rejects the electors from the states where the fraud occurred, Donald Trump has more electoral votes than Joe Biden does, and so he would win that way. VP Pence delays the decision in order to allow for a vetting and subsequent counting of all the legal paper ballots, which is, I think, the route of what Cruz and the people that he's been leading have been proposing. And I don't know which way it's going to go, but those are the three options that it looks like they're going to be pushing for tomorrow. We'll see if this is right. And this is a good picture. This was from Patrick Byrne. In his boxes of Dominion voting machines, and it says made in China underneath. So even our machines were made by China. Fantastic. And that's the end. So there you go. We have shocking audio. And I wouldn't even be surprised if we guys didn't make it to the end or didn't even make it to the second part of the show, because those three things are enough I can't emphasize enough that this, we're never going back to the way things were, one way or another. If we win or lose, there's no going back from this. And we need to rise up. I was encouraged by the pre-rally rally today. I was listening to it. Worship was conducted there. There was pastors preaching. The Black Robe Regiment of our time was there. And some of them were even talking that the time for war has come upon us and whatever that looks like. And it's not going to be the traditional Revolutionary War or even a civil war. It's going to look a lot different. But war we shall have. I hope you're prepared. I hope you're ready. Have wisdom and be praying. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.